Australia. We are in the dog days of summer. Many are traveling and taking vacations, and we just pray God's safe passage for them and can't wait for them to come back and join us in worship. Couple of things I want to share with you first is for those who are not fully aware, it's really now it's a praise report. But yesterday, Donna Jackman had fallen and broken her hip. And she's at Bayshore, but she had surgery already this morning at 8:30. And I had got a text directly from her that she's doing great. She's feeling good. She's out of surgery. I'm sure she's feeling great on the pain meds, but that's another story. but keep her in your prayers. She is at Bayshore, and we'll be there for at least a couple of days before rehab. So we give God the glory for this, not just the swiftness of everything, but just what God is doing, because how quickly this has happened. Usually you're waiting a couple of days, but not here. So we thank God for that. The other thing I want to share with you, and we were not able to put it in the bulletin yet this week, but will be next week, is under our missionaries. As you know, last week we prayed over and commissioned Bobby Jr. on his missionary trip that he's taken. Beginning next week, he's going to be on one of those missionary lists. His name will be on that list. As we pray for our missionaries, it's a reminder to pray for him. And for those that were not here last week when we had our missions offering, I shared that if you go on our church website, we have an app now where you can give on the internet to the church, whether it's you're away and you want to give your tithes and offerings, you're welcome to do that through the internet. Through that, it's a secured, it's through PayPal. Doesn't cost you anything extra. Or if you want to give your missions offerings, you can do that as well. And there's a place where you can put a little note as to what this offering is for on the website. And you are able to make designated offerings. For example, any one of our missionaries, or any time you feel led by the Holy Spirit to give to a specific thing, whether it's the youth group or women or a missionary, you can also go through the website app and then just put on the note, this is for so-and-so. So if you want to give to Bobby or Stephen Wallace or any solutions or any of the missionaries, you can do that as well. So it's just another tool God has given us that we can use to help do the work of his kingdom. So right now, if you would raise your Bibles, let's give God glory for his word. Father, we thank you for your word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates, even dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. Amen. Now with those Bibles, if you would turn to Matthew 28, verse 19. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. We started last week a message series on Jesus, the disciple maker. And a quick review of what some of the things we just talked about is the first point that we focused on was that Jesus chose. And Matthew 28:19 says this, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." And one of the things that the Lord laid on our hearts in sharing this message with you is to change our thinking on what discipleship is all about. One of my biggest pet peeves is hit-and-run evangelism, which is, you meet somebody, you share the word with them, they might even accept the Lord right there, but then that's it. You walk away, you say goodbye, you feel good. And then what happens? The devil comes in and sifts them. It is so important to realize discipleship is different from evangelism, but evangelism is part of it. And discipleship is not about hit-and-run evangelism. It is not about passing out a tract for a few minutes and then walking away. Discipleship is about relationships. And hopefully today, as we take the next step in this, we understand and are charged and encouraged to make a focused effort to build discipling relationships. We talked about that Jesus chose, and the fact that he chose the 12. We talked about of the four C's, which is when you look at his disciple, somebody who you will mentor, what you're really looking for is commitment, competency, chemistry, and character. And I want to say something about this that I didn't say last week, about character. We know of a lot of people who are anointed and gifted by the Holy Spirit. You look at them and go, man, I wish I had your anointing. I wish I had your gift. You speak eloquently with tongues of angels. You know, your prophetic word is so awesome. God just flows through you. But, especially young believers, because remember, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are gifts. They're not earned. They're gifts. Especially young believers, their spiritual character takes time to build up, to line them up with their giftings. And this is a big part of discipling. Now, character, there's one element of character where it's about personality and those kind of traits. But then there's your spiritual character that involves spiritual disciplines. And part of discipling is marrying, helping that person marry their human character traits. Just simply learn new ways to do things and be, because character is developed over time. Marrying that with the development of their spiritual disciplines and character so that they line up with the gifts of the Holy Spirit that he's given them. So they all work together. Because sometimes you'll see someone so filled with power, but they're all over the place. They're not spiritually disciplined. And this is the big thing about spiritual character. And we want to foster that. We want to build that. And that's where the Word of God comes in. Hey, this is what the Word of God says. You're a little bit out of line there. You know, you have the prophetic gift. That's great that you have a prophetic gift. But remember, you're the filter of the Word of God. So, God doesn't give you word for word for you to regurgitate. He implants something on you and you share it in your human way. So therefore, you need to get grounded in the Word of God so that you understand that what God gives you, you can filter it through His Word with His character so you make sure that it lines up with Him. That's how you know something is pure. That it lines up with His Word, that it has His character is all over it. Those things are important. These things have to be built. These things take time. And the one that we disciple has to be willing to sit under our mentorship in order to have these things build. Say, hey, look, this is a little off. Let's work on this to create those spiritual disciplines. So we need to work on these things. And as I shared last week, Paul himself, the apostle, said, don't be imitators of me, imitate Christ. But as I imitate Christ, the person I disciple needs to look like me. Not me, the human being, but me, the God in me, the Spirit of God in me. Therefore, as a mentor or somebody doing discipling, and I just need to also say this, every single one of us here is a disciple maker. And what I mean by that, you don't have to be 20 years with the Lord to make disciples. If God is moving in your life, you can go and encourage somebody who's new in the faith, who's just coming to know Jesus as their Savior. There's not a single one of us that cannot make a discipling impact on other people. You don't have to be super Christian. You don't have to go to Bible school. You just need to understand that God has given you something to give it away, to pour it out onto other people. As I do every Sunday, every word I speak with you, everything I share with you is not to preach at you, but to share with you what God is showing me. And the cool thing is, half the time, I'm learning as I'm sharing with you, because there's something about when you're just pouring it out, God's pouring it in. So he's teaching me, and a lot of the stuff I share are just an outflow that aren't even in the notes, that just as I'm sharing, God is connecting more dots. This is disciple making. But it's getting close to people. It's building specific relationship, not preaching at them, but it's getting to know them. Jesus had 12, and we're going to get into that more in a bit. So he chose and he spent time with them. That was the first point. Today we're going to get into the second point. Second point is Jesus made friends. He made friends. He did not just command his disciples to do things. In addition to commanding them, what did he do? He showed them. He paved the way in showing his followers how to make disciples themselves. He didn't just tell them, you need to go make disciples. He spent 3 years building friendships with disciples so that they will know how to build friendships, make friendships, to make disciples of others. And this is a really important fact that we need to get under on our minds here and get grasp. That he spent that time, and it's important that we take that time. See, there's a difference between maintaining the kingdom of God and advancing the kingdom of God. Are we going to advance it, move it forward? In other words, are we going to see the kingdom of God advanced in someone's life? Going to be behind them saying, let's do it. Let's press into the kingdom. Let's grow spiritually. Let's make a difference in your life, because when the kingdom of God is alive in you, it's going to make a difference in your home life, in your family, in everything about you. It'll impact everyone around you. When we advance the kingdom of God, we are seeking to see people's lives change. The purpose, the person who we're discipling and working with and encouraging, we're working to see their life tangibly changed. See, when God transforms us, our mind is renewed in the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, in the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit, everything changes. Everything changes. The mind is the most powerful thing we have in us. Your mind, where it's at, affects your emotions, it affects your attitudes, it affects your focus, it affects how you perceive things. I've shared many years ago about, I did a whole sermon about how your perception, which is the way you look at things, which has everything to do with your mind, affects your attitude, which affects your behaviors. And in order to change attitudes and behaviors, perception has to change. Your mind has to be renewed in the Word of God, in being in the presence of God. It has to be. Seeing a life change, advancing the kingdom, is seeing fruit come out of someone's life. An excitement, a joy. The person who's always depressed now is rejoicing in the Lord. The person who's always whining about what they don't have is being grateful for what they do have and giving glory to God. Giving glory to God for what He is doing. They will praise him when things are not going the way they think they should go, and they'll praise him when things are going wonderful. It's not going to change. They're going to see fruit in their life because they're making impact in other people's lives. That's one who is seeking to advance the kingdom of God. A disciple maker is someone who wants the kingdom of God to grow. If the original 12 that were kingdom maintainers instead of advancers, would the world have been changed? You know what they would have done? They would have just continued to sit and just have church within their closed doors, never sending anybody out. Hey, we got it. We're the 11 that are left with a few other people who are kind of close to Jesus. Let's just keep it to ourselves. The 120 who were in the upper room, when the Holy Spirit fell, hey, let's just keep it to ourselves. We're fine. Let's not rock anyone's boat. Let's not rattle anything. Let's just be happy and just bask in the glow of the Holy Spirit. That's it. We're happy. We know we're going to heaven. Let everybody else go to hell in a handbasket. We're okay. We know we've overcome the grave in the name of Jesus. We know we're filled with power of the Holy Spirit. We know we can trample on serpents in Jesus' name. We know we have authority. We can heal the sick and we can, you know, open blind eyes and do all these things. But let's not impart it on anybody. Let's not pass it along. Let's keep it to ourselves so we can be popular and we can be, you know, people will come to us. That's a kingdom maintainer. Kingdom maintainer is also apathetic. Has no drive to move forward and to make a difference in somebody's life. The question has went through my mind so often this week with several people that I think about. I'm looking at the distress that goes on in their life, and all I can think about is, you're not growing spiritually. And it's just a matter of time before you're going to be crying at the altar again, or you're going to be on the phone hysterical, crying or upset at somebody or something. All I have to do is look at some Facebook posts and I can see it. And it breaks my heart. And I keep going, why are they not seeking the heart of God? Why they are not seeking God with all their heart, mind, soul, and spirit and strength? That's what they need to do. A kingdom advancer is somebody who will. A kingdom advancer is going to press into the kingdom, who's going to see somebody sick and say, oh, you need to go, not say you need to go see a doctor, but say, let me pray for healing first and then go see a doctor. Because I believe my God heals. Kingdom advancer says, you know what? The Lord has filled me with so much power today. Come, touch me. Touch me. Let me impart it on you. Let me pray it to you. Let me give it to you. I want you to receive it. A kingdom advancer, God has given me a new revelation. I want to pass it on to you and pray with you to see if God gives you something with it to add to it, to grow in it. That's a kingdom advancer. And this is part of discipleship making. That only happens when we build and focus on relationships. And we're doing that. Jesus did it with the 12 and a few others, a couple of others who were close to him. But he did it with the 12. He imparted things on them so that they will, he advanced the kingdom of God onto them so that they will then advance the kingdom of God onto others. And it came down all the way down the line to us here today. We've been imparted upon to advance the kingdom of God on others. Not maintain it. Not play defense, but get offensive. The Lord this morning, and even yesterday I shared it with my wife, just seeing the enemy attacks and how the devil is really trying to just crush by emotionally putting weights on people, by physically causing things to happen to people. And you know what? We just started praying, you know, God, give us that righteous anger. And I shared that with the prayer team this morning as I prayed. We need that righteous anger that says, enough's enough. I'm tired of seeing my family suffer like this. I'm tired of seeing my friends suffer like this. I'm tired of seeing my church suffer like this. I'm tired of what's going on, and I'm tired of the devil thinking he's got his way. I'm tired of lost souls, my neighbors not knowing Jesus because I'm not out there. That people at work don't even know I go to church. I've never once mentioned it to them. Or they know, but I've never invited them. And look what they're going and what their lives are like. I'm tired of it, and it's time for me to start praying with power for the fervent prayers of a righteous man will accomplish a whole lot, availeth much. I'm getting angry. That's what we need. We need the Holy Spirit to light that fire to get out there and do something about it. Make disciples. Take people under our wings in that way. See, there was more than 12 disciples, but he specifically spent time with those 12. And of those 12, there was three he spent intimate time with. What does that tell us when it comes to disciple making? There are those that we take into our fold to impart, to build relationships with. But then of those, the ones who are leaning in the most. See, the 12 were leaning in. And we talked about that a little bit yesterday, or last week. That, you know, Jesus chose those who were willing to go, who wanted more. They were leaning into him. And they were willing to follow. But of the 12 that were leaning in, three were more passionate. He was closer to. And he could intimately share. And it was those three that eventually kind of became sort of like the head of the other 8 and 9. He spent time with them. And he built them. He did not do that. We look at what we're doing. We have Havering groups going on right now, which are the home groups that we started. And we're seeing, as I shared, so much fruit coming forth from them. We're spending time with each group, but we're spending focus time with the leaders of that group to equip them so that they can now equip others. But in the process, we're seeing who else is leaning in that we can take from that group and start another Havering group somewhere else with them and equip them to lead. This is discipleship process. Who's leading in from the youth? When we meet with the youth, who are our youth leaders? Who are the young men and women who are going to lead? Who's got the passion and says, enough's enough. I'm tired of my school looking the way it is and my friends looking the way they look. And I want to make a difference in my school. I know I've got it on my heart. I know I've been told I've got the anointing. I know I've been spoken to by God. And when I'm talking about youth, I'm talking about the older teens and the younger ones. Yes, I want to know more. Teach me how to get into the Word. Show me how to get into the Word. Show me how to lead. Lead me so I can learn how to lead. Disciple me so I know how to make disciples. See, Jesus did life with the 12. He did life with his disciples. This is why we do the HD groups. This is why we spend time with them. This is why I've made the choice of who not to spend time with anymore. Because rather than have my time distracted, I'm going to focus with those leaning in. Not going to chase anyone. I'm going to make disciples of those that are willing to be made disciples. And going to spend that time and that quality time. And you know what I found? And this is a personal testimony. I used to think I couldn't socialize with people in the church because every time I was with them, I had to be, quote, pastor. and I would be drained emotionally. That I just needed to socialize and have, quote, fun with people outside of this body, because that's the only way I could feel relaxed. And I can feel, okay, I can just be me and unwind and refresh. What the Lord showed me is the reason I was feeling that way, even with people in the body, is because it was with people who were not leaning in. We were not equally yoked, in, so to speak. But now, whether it's Havering groups or softball or any other activity, church function, even Sunday morning service, the fact that there are more people now who are in one accord, even though we're at different places, but we are united one in His Spirit. And we have people who are as hungry for the presence of God, and who are as hungry for the Word of God, and as hungry to grow in God, and kingdom difference-making people. That's my new catchphrase this week that I've been sharing. I'm not looking for musicians. I'm not looking for teachers. I'm not looking for this. I'm not looking for people to fill positions. I'm looking for kingdom difference-making individuals. That's who we're looking for. Are you going to be one? When Isaiah had that dream, that vision in Isaiah 6, and God said, "Whom shall I send?" He was saying, who is going to go? Who's going to be a kingdom-making difference person to the people? And Isaiah said, "Here I am. I'll go. Send me." This is what we're looking for. And you know what I found as a part of my testimony to you? Is that when I am surrounded by those people, I am refreshed. I am renewed. I'm not walking away feeling like I was in an emotional slugfest and a spiritual slugfest. But because they are seeking the Lord in my presence with me, they're hungry for the things of God. Even though, again, we might be at different places in our spiritual walk, the fact is we're moving in the same direction. We're on the same path. We're walking with Christ. He is with us. His presence is among us, refreshing us. And it's making a difference. It's making a difference. So who are your friends? Who are the people you are spending time with? Who are you influencing in Jesus? Who are you influencing for the kingdom of God? Who are you making a difference, impacting difference for the kingdom of God in their lives? You have access, you guys up there, you have access in your school to kids and people I'll never have access to. Everyone here has access to people in their neighborhood that I will never have access to. But you have access to them. All it takes is that mindset that I want to advance the kingdom. I want their lives to grow in Christ Jesus. I want them to know the one I love and love the one I love. I want to see fruit in their lives for the kingdom of God. I want to see difference being made in their lives for the kingdom of God. This is what discipling is about. See, Jesus had access to the 12. The 12 had access to many others. Think about this. Paul, Peter, Philip, all those apostles, they would go to a church that James or any of the other apostles in some town didn't have access to in a city. And they would do what? They would make disciples, and of those disciples, those who were leaning in, they would lead the church. They would mentor in leadership to lead that church. And then they would move on. But they would spend time discipling them. Now, those mentors, those people they led and impacted, now will have access to people that Paul doesn't have access to because he's somewhere else. So guess what? I have access to you right here. And I have access to certain leaders in this church in different type of meetings. But when you leave here, and when they leave those meetings, you and they will have access to people I will never speak to unless you bring them here. You'll be able to speak into their lives where I am not there to speak into their lives. You can become the disciple maker in their lives. And remember, they don't have to say, I accept Jesus in my heart first to do so. Remember what I shared with you last week. The question that Paul Gibbs raised when he was here about a year and a half ago. When did the disciples become Christians? Jesus started making disciples before they even knew what a Christian was. He impacted their lives. We started making disciples in our home group of our neighbor, of our neighborhood, even before a rededication and a commitment to Christ happened. That process was started. Who will you speak into this week? Is there one person, or maybe one family whose life can be changed for their own benefit and for the glory of the kingdom of God just by your encounters with them? By you saying, Lord, I want to be kingdom-minded. I want to be kingdom-impactful in their lives. I want to advance your kingdom in their lives. Open the right doors. Show me how to speak into them. Teach me your ways that I can go in and teach them it. Impart to me the gifts that I need that I can speak into them. And open the right doors, Lord. The goal of making friends is that they would be equipped to make disciples to win people for Jesus. Think about that. Isn't that the goal of friendship? To be equally yoked, and in order to be equally yoked, these things happen. I am equally yoked now with many in this body, where I'm not feeling drained, because as much as I'm pouring out to them in whatever way the Holy Spirit and God lead me to pour out to them, they are pouring back into me as the Holy Spirit in whatever way they are led to. We're edifying. We are equipping. See, this is why the Bible says, do not forsake the fellowship of the believers. And true fellowship only happens when the presence of the Holy Spirit is there. Getting together without the Holy Spirit is not fellowship. It's called socializing. It's called socializing. Fellowship happens when the Holy Spirit is the guest of honor. The presence of Christ is the welcome guest in your midst, in all that you do. The goal of making friends is to equip our friends, our disciples, whether you want to use that term or not, so that they will be able to make other disciples. That's the goal of friend making. You're on the street, at your job, with your family. You've been strategically placed by God where you're at. You have influence there. It's funny, I've always wondered why God has us living in Keensburg. And we see why. Because we have, in a matter of 2 months, have made more of a difference in our town, in our street, than I have all the years that I've lived there since, I want to say, 96. Why? Because I changed my attitude. And I had to repent for that. Because it was, I'll make disciples and I'll do church things at church or at official church meetings, not realize that God has me where He has me with the neighbors around me who God has placed around me to make a difference for the town. My wife now, as a substitute teacher when the school system gets back going and schools start, tries hard to make sure she gets assignments in the Keensburg schools now, where she has other options and used to other, go other places. Why? Because she's getting to know the kids. Why? Because whether she didn't realize it, but we found out, she's known as the substitute from Texas who goes to church now. Without people speaking directly to her about it, she's built a reputation about that. That other teachers know that. Other students know this. Now we have kids walking by our block and they go, "Hi, Mrs. S." This is relationship building. This is neighborhood impacting. This is being strategically placed by God and recognizing where God has us to make disciples of those around us. Jesus taught by word and by example. He lived it. He taught by word and by example. And he did life with them. He didn't hit and run with them. He didn't say, "Hey, this is what I'm telling you what to do. And this is, and look at me. This is how I do it. Learn from what I do." No. He took the 12 on this journey with him. They followed him. They followed him. And he did life with them. Discipleship making is doing life with one another. This is a term I would love for everyone to make a part of their vocabulary. Kingdom impacting and doing life together. And by doing life, he not only lived it with them, but he empowered them. Jesus told his disciples to follow him, and then he showed them how to follow God, and he imparted onto them how to say, when someone said, "How do I pray?" He showed them how to pray. When they said, "How can we cast out demons?" He showed them how to do it. And then he gave them his Holy Spirit when he was no longer physically there to empower them to do it as he's empowered us to do it. And he showed us how to do it. Sometimes people feel like being a Christian is all about going after hurting people and hungry people and doing these good deeds, and that's part of it. But that's not all of it. That should be a byproduct of it. See, doing food pantry things, doing clothing drives, you know, doing benefits to help out different organizations, getting in the community, is part of who we are. But it's not the main part. We have it backwards. And I think our churches in this area specifically, for a long time, has it just be a good person, that attitude of just do good and you'll be okay with God. And that attitude led to, well, as long as I give to the poor money, as long as I volunteer some time here and do this, everything will be okay with God. When that's not true. That's an outgrowth of everything else. That comes when we do the right things first. Because when we ask what it means to be Christ-like, most people think, "Oh, just walk like Jesus did and do this and that." But they don't get it. They know it intellectually, but they don't get it. Because they say, "Well, you know, Jesus healed the sick, but I can't heal. Jesus cast out demons, but you know, who am I?" No. You've got the power of God in you. Being like Jesus is about looking like him on earth. So when we look at Jesus' life, was he all about serving meals and food pantry and clothing drives and volunteering? Was he all about building houses for the people? Habitat for Humanity and all that? Was he all about taking care of widows and needs? Those things were part of his life. And he encouraged and said, "We need to do those things. We are taught to do those things." But all of these, and this is the important part, were acts of service that were a fruit, that were a fruit of what he did and preached. Those came out of who he was first and foremost. And what was he? What was his purpose? God, Jesus was all about his Father's business. He was all about the kingdom of God. He was all about the kingdom of heaven. That's all. He preached the gospel. He healed the sick. He cast out the demons. He raised people from the dead. And you can read that in Matthew chapter 10, beginning verse 5 through 10. 15. 5 through 15. That's what Jesus was all about. He was about the kingdom of God first. All these things were fruit from being right-minded when it comes to be the kingdom of God. In the right spirit of God inside of us when it comes to the kingdom of God. It's getting our priorities right. It's getting the order of things right for the kingdom of God. That's what it's all about. He was all about his Father's business. And that's the most important thing. So today, right here and right now, Jesus is calling us to make an impact, to be a person of impact, a kingdom-minded, impacting person. And he's not asking you to go to Africa. He's not asking you to do more than what you can. But what he's asking you is to be a disciple maker as he was and is by making friends, by building relationships. See, sometimes we never know what people are going to say or do till you ask. You might go to your neighbor today and try to begin building a relationship. And they might receive you. And you know what? The door might be open now. Not saying there to go there today with a Bible and say, hey, you got an hour? Let me talk to you about Jesus. Jesus, if you think about it, sat down with his disciples for an intense Bible study, so to speak, time after he's done life with them and something happened where he was explaining how this fits into the kingdom of God. Think about it. All the parables that he taught, all the things he did, it was at the end of the day when he's off with the 12, he sat down with them and said, hey, this is what this means. Hey, let me explain to you how this fits in with the kingdom of God. And a lot of times it was their questions. Jesus' disciple making was an outgrowth of the friendships he had. People like to say Jesus was a friend of sinners. That's not necessarily true. Jesus loves sinners. Loves us all, for he loved us while we were yet sinners. He wasn't their friend. He loved them. He loved them more than they will ever know. And still does. Everyone who does not have a right relationship with them, he loves them. But he wasn't a friend of sinners. Jesus was friendly with those who were leaning in. Friendship, being friends with somebody, denote a relationship with somebody. He had relationship with those who were leaning in, those he did life with. He loved them all. But those whom he said, come follow me, and they followed him, that's who he was friends with. So think about that as you go this week. Don't say to somebody, God bless you, Jesus loves you. Do life with them and show them the love of Jesus. Show them. Make friends so that they will know how to make friends. And we'll just replace that word friends with disciples. Make disciples so that they will know how to make disciples in your friendships. And you never, ever have to use that word, disciple. All you're doing is making friends. And friends do things together, including worshiping together. That's what this church will be built on. Be built on you and I making friends and our teaching them how to make friends in the name of the Lord that will grow this church as they get passionate for the presence of God in their lives. Would you pray with me?